Anyone have a song tonight? If not, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 27 tonight. A lot of times I take you to several places, but we're just going to stay in Acts 27. We preached from here before. Some of you will recognize it, some of you may not. But I want to bring about a thought or two tonight. Now, Paul has been before Festus. He's been before King Agrippa. And he has made known to them that he is a Roman. He has a right to appeal before Caesar. And of course, he was being falsely accused by the Jews. And so, when he did that, they decided that they would send him to, well, they had no choice really, but he had to go make his appeal because he was a Roman to Caesar. And so they put him on a ship and they were going to send him. Now, as he's making a journey, they're fixing to experience a shipwreck. And several times we've talked about different aspects of this shipwreck. The Bible talks about many different people that got caught in the midst of storms. The amazing thing, and you know, tonight they were giving some tornado watches and so forth. And storms are something that's common. We look and we find out from the Bible that God has his way in the whirlwinds. We find out that God, for Jonah, prepared a great wind. He prepared a great storm. He even prepared a fish. He prepared a gourd. Sometimes we look and we say, just an accident happened because of a storm. I saw where several was killed last night as a storm went through some places. We find that Jesus took his disciples on a ship. And they got on ship. When they got in the middle of the sea, there came a storm. Even though they were doing what the Lord had told them to do, even though the Lord was with them in the bottom of the ship sleeping, they still faced storms. There are some storms, and we mentioned this before, but there are some storms that God puts us through to teach us some valuable lessons. There are some storms we go through because when people that was wiser than us instructed us what to do, we chose to do something else. And in going and doing the other things, when we knew better, we face some storms. I call them self-inflicted storms. Things that we bring on ourselves. Then sometimes we're in the midst of storms for other reasons. And so here as they were sailing, begin reading with me if you would in verse number 8. I'm going to read a few verses, so stay with me if you would. It says, "In hardly passing, it came to pass, we came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia." Now, this is in Crete, by the way. It says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was what? Dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them." Now notice that. "Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs," now even though he was a prisoner, here, he had a lot of wisdom. He also had the wisdom of God and the power of God upon him. He said, "Now unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." Now, what's the next word? "Nevertheless, a centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Now, how many times have we been in a situation where we had wise counsel being given to us. But we had friends and other people, or in this situation, the owner of the ship, he wanted his cargo took. He didn't want it delayed. He had alternative motives for what he was doing. He didn't care as much for the lice as he cared for his cargo getting there faster and getting a profit quicker. And so when Paul told him, he said, listen, I perceive that there's going to be a storm. It's going to be dangerous, maybe even to our lives. And the master, the one that's supposed to know and be able to read the signs of the weather and know what's going on with the weather and so forth, he said, we can make it. The owner of the ship said, yeah, we need to go on. The Bible says that the centurion, the one that was over the guards, he believed them more than he believed what Paul said. You know, many of us grew up. Some of us had godly parents. Some of us had godly counsel. And they told us not to do what we're fixing to do. Sometimes it was marrying someone. Sometimes it was doing something else. Sometimes it was going into business. Sometimes it was buying things that we didn't need. Other things. And sometimes we went ahead, evaded the wise counsel, and decided we'd go ahead and do it for our own, believing that we knew a little bit more. That's what these folks did. Then verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might obtain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and the northwest. So because things didn't look as good to stay there, they decided to go ahead and try it. The Bible says, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there rose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryalus. I'm sorry, my tongue went one way, my mind another. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, a strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest laid on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. Now let me ask you this. How many times have we went against wise advice? And then when we made a mess, and we got in a mess, then we come back and somebody said, you should have listened. You should have took a little time and listened. Young people, you could save yourself a lot of heartache by listening to me. And we don't have a lot of our young people here tonight, but save a lot of heartache. Let me tell you something. If you jump up and you want to grab somebody to marry, and your parents and people that's got a little wisdom seems to be against it, they probably know a little bit more than what you know. You'd probably be a little bit more wiser to slow down a little bit. Take some advice. The sad part about it is you get married, you have children most of the time, and then you find what a mistake you've made. But then you've got things that you got to deal with the rest of your life. And it creates issues. It creates heartbreak. And it creates issues the best you can do. I've heard some people say, well, we're going to handle it in a professional way. It just don't happen. Very seldom it happens that way. And so usually, you know, you have one biting against the other. And what happens is the children gets caught right in the midst. So we need to be wise. Most of you that have gone that trail, and I've gone that trail myself in some ways, would now look back and say, I should have listened. These people was in the midst of a storm, one of the worst storms they ever been in. They didn't think they were going to live. They should have listened. And Paul come out on the boat, and they've been given, doing everything they possibly could. They threw stuff overboard. They threw their tackle away. They threw everything trying to lighten the load so they could get out of this storm. And it looked like all hope was lost. He come out and he said, sirs, you should have listened. But look on what he said. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosened for Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out into the stern of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Now, without reading the rest of the chapter, I'm just going to go to the last verse of the chapter. And the Bible says, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped, what? All safe to land. Let me share with you a thought or two from this story. First of all, let me say this. We've already said that the people should listen to wise counsel. And so then Paul come out, and these people had laid four anchors down. They were trying to anchor the ship. They were trying by their own means to correct the problem they'd gotten into. So they decided what they would do is, in the midst of this storm, they would put these four anchors out. And these four anchors then would keep them off the rocks and keep their ship from being destroyed when it would hit rocks. Well, Paul done told them that the angel of the Lord had told him that they would all be saved, but the ship would not be saved. But yet they thought, by their own means, by their own strength, that they could go ahead and save the ship. When you read the rest of the story, the ship was destroyed. They were all saved on boards of the ship. They grabbed hold of something that was floating, and they all went into the island, just as Paul said. Their four anchors was useless. And regardless of why and what their thinking was, they thought that they could hold the ship intact and they could save themselves with their own effort. Now listen to me just a moment. Sometimes when we have made a mistake, Then what we do is we worsen the mistake by thinking that we can correct it by our own means. And we began to take our own anchors to try to secure the ship that's doomed to wreck, and we decided we'd try to fix it. I cannot tell you how many times a marriage is going south and they think the solution is having a baby, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world. When your marriage is falling apart, it's no time to have a baby. A baby will not save your marriage. And eventually what happens then, you just fall apart, and then you've added another baby. So many times they throw anchors. They change their life. They do this. They do that. They do all these things in their own means to save the ship. But Paul had four anchors of his own. His anchors will work for us. Paul walked out in the midst of a storm and had no fear. Matter of fact, he looked at everybody else. He'd be a good chair. He said, I've got four anchors that's going to hold us. Those four anchors was this. Look back in your Bibles a moment. And notice verse 23. The Bible says, for there stood by me this night, what? Paul said, in the midst of the storm, I was not alone. The angel of the Lord was there with me. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28? He said, I'm going to depart. He said, I'm going to leave you the Comforter. He's going to come. He said, but I want you to know something. Lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he said this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Let me tell you, if you're a child of God, what you have in the midst of a storm. Yes, you should have listened. Yes, you should have heeded. Or maybe you're in the midst of a storm of no making of yourself. It's just something that God's put you in. I was thinking about some of these that's going through the cancer and some of these other issues. I was thinking about some of them may have been brought on by their own actions. Some of them may have been well advised not to do certain things. Maybe this because God just wants to try them in a trial of their faith. Whatever the cause, we have the same anchor that Paul had. We have the presence of God. And can I tell you this? I don't care what you go through. If you can feel the presence of God, you can get through anything. There's a peace that comes when Jesus lets his presence be felt. Whenever the disciples was in a ship at another time and Jesus was not in the ship, and they were fearful for their soul, they saw Jesus walking. And the first thing he did was he said, peace. You see, it brings peace when the presence of God is there. You might try to create your own anchors to steady your storm, but there's no anchor that will bring peace in the midst of a storm like feeling the presence of God in your life. So Paul walked out there. He said, sirs, I've got good news. Everybody can just be a good cheer. He said, an angel of the Lord has appeared with me. In other words, I have the anchor of the presence of God. Therefore, you can rest easy. Not only that, but look on in verse 24. He goes on, and the Bible says, the angel of the Lord saying, what? Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. In other words, he didn't say that you might be, you can be. He said you must be. So he said, listen, Paul, don't worry about this storm. We've got a date. You're going to go before Caesar. You must be. So this storm means nothing. So he had an anchor not only of the presence of God, he had an anchor of the promises of God. And he told him, he said, now I'm going to take you and you're going to go safe. And not only that, I'm going to give you everybody else in the ship and they're going to be safe too. And so he walked out there, he said, be good cheer. God's not only said, I'm going to appear before Caesar, but you guys are going to make it safe too. The ship's not going to last, but you're going to last. You know why? I've got an anchor they'll hold. My anchor one is the presence of God. My anchor number two is the promises of God. And so here I have the promises. And so not only that, but look on. He also said, and by the way, in the Bible, it's 7,000. Somebody counted one time and said they counted 7,487 promises of God to man. Imagine all the promises that we have. He says, I'm an ever-present help in time of trouble. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. And the Bible says that when we need mercy, we can come to the throne of mercy when we need grace and find grace and help when we need to come. Not only that, but notice as well in verse 24, the Bible says, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I what? And it shall be even as it was told me. He said, listen, I've got a providence with God. He's got a purpose for me. And until he's through with me, there ain't nothing going to happen to me. I'm going before Caesar. God's done told me. And there's nothing that this storm or nothing that this world can do to stop me. Paul wrote to us, and he told us in the book of Romans chapter 8, we preached on this not long ago, verse 28, for I know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and all that are called according to his purpose. I can tell you this, being a child of God, whatever God's letting you go through and whatever you're going through will be for your good, but I'll tell you this as well. Nothing will happen to you until God's ready for it to happen. Because God still is sovereign over these things. Somebody said, well, I'm sick and there's no hope. Things that are impossible with men are possible with God. There is hope. But now you can't run around, and I know that there's all these people that claims that any illness and so forth, they can say a few things, do a few things, send them a little money or something like that. And they'll pray for you and all this. That's not the way it always happens. Sometimes it's God's will that you leave and you depart. Paul, in just a short time, he's going to go to Rome. He's going to go before Caesar. But after he goes going through Caesar, God has another purpose. His purpose then is going to lay his head on a chopping block and they're going to cut his head off. And he's going to depart and go be with the Lord. You say, that's a terrible thing. Well, he done wrote in Philippians, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, I've got nothing to lose. And so therefore, it wasn't God's will, once he got to Rome, once he appeared before Caesar, it wasn't God's will that Paul continue on. I think about the plaque over there. It's got loved ones. And I think about all the different storms that some of you all went through. And I think of all the hours that we set up with people and the sickness and going back and forth to doctors and watching them and slowly watching them die. Then I think of the time when God just took them. When God's ready to take them, there's nobody going to keep them. And when God's ready not to take them, He'll keep them here, and he'll make some, whatever it is, work out. But Paul not only had the presence of God, he not only had the promises of God, he had the providence of God, that God had a purpose for his life. And until God was through with that purpose, he was as safe in that storm as he was in his bed at night. because nothing's going to harm them unless God allows it to. All God's got to do to a storm is speak, and like Jesus walked out on the bow of the ship and said, waves, sea, be calm, and peace come. God can bring peace whenever he wants to in the midst of the worst storms of our lives. The last but not least, look back in your Bible and notice in verse 44. The Bible says in some and the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. You say, preacher, that was probably a pretty terrible night in that water that night. The water might have been cold. I told some of these boys the other day, they's going to go down here in the lake and go swimming. I said, you guys got rocks for brains? Oh, it's nice 80-degree weather. I said, when you get in that water, you'll find out how 80-degree it is. And so they went down. They found out that pretty good trip down there and pretty good trip up that old slimy, wet trail. And the water wasn't real bath watery like either. But I imagine that night, 276 of them, I got the Bible names them there in the part I didn't read. But however many they were, I imagine that they've spent a pretty rough night. In that cold water, they may have been worried about sea creatures. They may have been worried about hitting rocks. They may have been cold as it could be, because it was during a time when it should have been cold weather. They had to hang on the boards all night long and survive. But they got safely to land. The other anchor that Paul had was this. When God says he's going to do something, he performs it. But it's not always the way we want it to be. Sometimes there's a lot of pain involved in getting to the place that God promised he would get us to. But he always gets us there. And so therefore, Paul had confidence. He didn't know how when the ship broke to pieces. He just believed God that it was going to break to pieces. He didn't know how they were all going to get there. And he didn't know how it would work when they got there. But what happened was, sure enough, that's what they did. And by the way, if some people understood the teaching of the apostles and the teaching of Mark chapter 16, they wouldn't be running around these places handling rattlesnakes and copperheads during the church service. It wasn't for them, and it's not for us to handle snakes. When he was on that island that God took them, he promised them, the apostles, he promised them that they would be able to do some miracles. And some of the miracles that would happen, one is that they would be able to get bit with a snake, a poisonous snake, and it would have no effect on them. And you know what happened? Paul went on that island. He was carrying firewood to help him out. And he put the firewood on the fire, and a venomous snake bit him. And it latched on to his hand, and he shook it off, and they all sat around waiting for him to die, because that's what happened when the snake bit people there. And the Bible says nothing happened to them. Amen. These snake handlers, when they get bit, guess what's the first thing they do? They swell up like a bullfrog. You know why? They don't have the promise of the apostles. And so God promised that the snake would not harm you. And so therefore, and that Paul was an instrument, and that record there recorded to prove that what Jesus said there in Mark chapter 6 would happen to the apostles, happened to the apostles. But my point is this. The people got there because God performed exactly what he said he would do. But sometimes it's not without a lot of pain. And sometimes it's not without a lot of agony. And sometimes we wonder how it's going to all end up. But Paul had those four anchors. He had the the presence of God. He had the promises of God. He had the providence of God. And he had God's performance, that he would do exactly what he said he would do. And so therefore he walked out, be of good cheer, and they all ended up on the island safe. It's good to be a child of God.
Amen.
Because we have all four performances, or four anchors, when we go through battles ourselves, and we can trust, and we can go into those things. Okay? You got a song you want to sing? Chris wants to sing tonight. Let's stand tonight. We'll let her sing while we do the invitation tonight. Just move that stuff if it's in your way.
There's a blessing to be counted in each trial along the way. Through this veil of tears and sorrow, lift up your head, there's a blessing on the way. Blessings come down in many fashions. Mountains that seem so hard to climb. Nights that seem so long and lonely. Lift up your head, there's a blessing on the way. Look beyond the trial you're having. Clouds that seem so cold and gray. Look beyond the heart that's broken. Lift up your head, there's a blessing on the way. Blessings come down in many fashions. Mountains that seem so hard to climb. Nights that seem so long and lonely. Lift up your head, there's a blessing on the way. In God's word we have this promise. If we'll ask, we shall receive. Ask for things that bring him honor. Then lift up your head, there's a blessing on the way. Blessings come down in many fashions. Mountains that seem so hard to climb. Nights that seem so long and lonely. Lift up your head, there's a blessing on the way. Lift up your head, there's a blessing on the way.
Amen.